I'd like to tell you about a recent decision of the Supreme Court of Canada regarding religious education. Quebec has a mandatory core curriculum which includes a program on ethics and religious culture to teach, quote, about the beliefs and ethics of different world religions from a neutral and objective perspective, close quote, as the court described it. It, quote, requires teachers to be objective and impartial, close quote, and, quote, to foster awareness of diverse values, beliefs, and cultures, close quote. The court decided that freedom of religion required Quebec to allow a Catholic school to teach about Catholicism from a Catholic perspective, but the court held that the school nevertheless needed to present other faiths in a neutral way, a position that the school largely accepted. I understand the problems with the case. I understand that there will be difficulties interpreting and enforcing the decision and the law on which it's based, and in balancing the rights of the schools and the students. But it's also very interesting. It's always been legal to teach comparative religion or the history of religion in public schools in the United States. The so-called wall of separation has always been about fairness toward all the students, denying government the power to promote any religious viewpoint over others. It has not been about total exclusion from the classroom. Here's what our Supreme Court wrote. While study of religions and of the Bible from a literary and historic viewpoint, presented objectively as part of a secular program of education, need not collide with the First Amendment's prohibition, the state may not adopt programs or practices in its public schools or colleges which aid or oppose any religion. We perceive exclusion from public places and programs because litigants typically want to promote a specific religion or doctrine rather than treat us to a display of interfaith brotherly love. Multi-faith displays aren't generally a problem, except for the promoters. Most Americans support that kind of basic fairness. And there is much to admire in what Quebec has tried to do. Some congregations themselves teach their young people about the differences in the ways people pray, taking them as a group on tours of other houses of worship. Sometimes the little congregation where I pray plays host to such groups, a practice I very much admire. I've felt lucky over the years to spend time at Chautauqua, where religious lectures and services are programmed into the amphitheater. So even if you don't plan on attending, you may be mesmerized just passing by, as I was a few years ago, hearing thousands of people in the amphitheater in this historically Protestant religious community reciting a prayer in Arabic as part of what they called their Abrahamic initiative, exploring the different faiths that have roots in the religious world of the patriarch Abraham and the ancient Hebrews. They explored it by including clerics from each of those traditions. My college experience was similar. We had to go to services, regardless of whose, and programming in the main university chapel was ecumenical, so I heard some of the world's finest theologians of the era, regardless of faith. I came to appreciate the fact that the finest minds of most faiths understand the similarity of their religious worlds and the identity of unanswerable questions with which we all struggle. Most of all, I appreciate what unites us and the import of that unity for all of us. Given the rise of religious war and cruelty in many parts of the world, I can't bring myself to take brotherhood for granted. It's the hard-won prize of our America.